Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, April 12th. The Democratic House passed the state budget on Monday with only one Republican supporting it. As Benta Berkland reports, it now heads to a conference committee to work out any differences in the versions passed by both chambers.
The budget covers all state spending, including schools, corrections, health care, and transportation. The Joint Budget Committee crafts the bill. Democrat Millie Hamner of Dillon is the vice chair.
It's even better today than it was when it first came over to the House because all of you had a chance to debate it and amend it.
Nearly 30 amendments were added during the floor debate. Budget Committee member Representative Bob Rankin of Carbondale was the only Republican to support it.
And I want to urge the minority members in this chamber that it really is okay to vote for the budget. It's a good budget.
But Republicans argue it was too bloated. And in the end, many of the changes lawmakers made will likely be stripped off in the conference committee. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Four new bills could help Colorado voters cut through the noise of campaign ads by following the money. Eric Galatis has this story.
Colorado lawmakers are being asked to shine some light on how so-called dark money influences political campaigns in the state. Four new bills introduced in the House would set limits on campaign spending and require additional disclosures for who's footing the bill. Peg Pearl with Colorado Ethics Watch says the measures would help voters cut through the noise of seemingly endless campaign ads by following the money.
So that voters have some sort of information to evaluate what's the noise and what's the real information about candidates that's worth paying attention to.
House Bill 1259 calls for closing a loophole that allows unlimited spending by independent committees, and 1260 would set limits for the first time on how much money can be raised by county candidates. 1261 and 1262 are attempts to create more transparency and accountability by revealing the names of groups promoting candidates through the entire campaign. Even though some names, such as Coloradans for Clean Air, seem designed to hide a group's true political goals, Pearl says HB 1261 would give voters a fighting chance to learn more from online databases. She says under current law, campaign backers are allowed to remain anonymous between the end of June and early September.
That's the piece of the puzzle that House Bill 1261 is trying to fix, to actually give the name of the committee to the voter when they receive the advertisement.
The four proposals introduced by Democrats could be heard by the House State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee as early as this week. If passed by the House, the bills would then have to clear the Republican-controlled Senate. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is term limited, and the race to succeed him in 2018 is already underway. Some big names have recently announced their campaigns, and much earlier than usual. The moves could impact one of the most significant agenda items still facing lawmakers during this year's legislative session, transportation funding. In our weekly Capitol Conversation, Benta Berkland spoke to State House reporters about the race.
Joining us, we have Ed Sealover, a reporter for the Denver Business Journal, and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. A lot going on here under the Gold Dome and a lot going on outside of the Gold Dome related to the governor's race, which will be here before we know it and will have a lot of impact on what happens here at the state legislature. Peter, I know you've been covering it. Seems like it could be a pretty crowded field on both sides.
All of the rumored candidates who everybody had been talking about for months, if not a year or more, are starting to come out of the woodwork and actually announce. Biggest announcements is George Brockler on the Republican side, the Arapahoe County District Attorney, who was the lead prosecutor in the James Holmes Aurora shooter case. He just announced that really was the first big Republican name in. And then we have Ed Perlmutter on the Democratic side, United States Representative in the 7th. He's jumping into the race. And then Kerry Kennedy, former state treasurer, is also going to jump in on the Democratic side. So yeah, we're starting to see this come to life a little bit. It should be a very interesting, tight, contested races to watch.
Do you think we'll see a lot more announcements?
I think that this is going to be a big dump for right now, and then it's probably going to calm down for a little bit. I hear another rumored candidate, Republican Walker Stapleton, the current state treasurer, is going to wait a while before he makes any decision. So I think that things will calm down for a little bit. We just have a lot to digest right now.
And Ed, Governor Hickenlooper will have one more legislative session after this session. how much do Republicans want to pick up that seat?
I think Republicans are salivating at the opportunity. They had a couple of missed opportunities in recent years. In 2010, they nominated Dan Mays, possibly the worst candidate the Republicans have ever put up. In 2014, they lost a close one with Bob Beaupre. Hickenlooper was able very successfully to generate support from business owners, who are crucial to Republicans winning most statewide elections, and moderates. I don't think you're going to see as much support for some of these Democratic candidates. Now, had Ken Salazar, the former U.S. Senator and Interior Secretary, jumped in, I think he could have put together the same coalition Hickenlooper could have. Perlmutter, Kennedy, Senator Mike Johnston, who is in the race already as well, are not going to be able to draw from that same base. They all have records that are going to be attacked as being more liberals than Hickenlooper was. And frankly, don't forget, they did attack Hickenlooper as a liberal, even if many people still do consider him a moderate. And they see this as an opportunity, especially with a candidate like Brock Lehr-Stapleton, who has some statewide name recognition, to steal the seat.
What are some of the early themes we may be seeing, and how much of it will be a reaction to what's happening nationally, or do you think it'll be more focused on state issues?
Well, I have two words: unaffiliated voters. They're going to be participating in the primary after voters just allowed that to happen this past November. So the messaging you're seeing from these candidates is not necessarily pandering all the way to the left or all the way to the right, because usually what happens is like the activist base shows up for the primaries. That's not going to really be the case anymore. So you're starting to see them talk about issues that really affect people's lives. School, education is a major theme that keeps coming up. Taxpayer, fiscal responsibility keeps coming up. So, you know, you're going to see these candidates have to reach out from outside their usual bases to try to attract a much wider berth of audience.
In the case of Republican George Brockler, I know he's been pretty vocal opposing a proposed sales tax increase for transportation. Lawmakers are discussing that this session and would send it to voters. So some of them are weighing on stuff that's happening here this session.
I would argue that assuming that the transportation tax hike can even get through the legislature to the voters in November, that'll almost be a kind of a proxy start of this race. You're going to see Democratic candidates come out for the tax hike, and then you see Republican candidates come out against it, and that vote will tell us a little bit about the mood the voters are in. This is not the normal start of the election cycle. It's usually a little later than this, but I think things are pushing it up, and I think this transportation issue is one of the main reasons we're seeing that acceleration.
Thanks. Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal, Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.